4Q Molio.
4IQ.
How you doing? Mr. Custard, I don't want to go.
Surround the wagons. You only have another couple days. You'll be glad to know today is Columbus Day, so you'll feel better. Well, my coffee's over there by the couch. Let me go ahead. Let me grab my coffee.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, something's a little erratic on the line control. Like yesterday, the dimmers wasn't working at all. This morning, it was working. Let's see. Is it, yeah, it's working now. So, it's crazy. So, anyway. You know, after you got out of the driveway, got up on the road, then the dimmer wasn't working.
Sound like a loose connection.
Yeah, he wanna. Hey, it's, when it's like that. Oh, me. I brought your card with me so I can just stamp it since you need. Oh, me. I got your card. I haven't opened it yet. I got that, yes. I got that Saturday. And, anyway. I'm not going to open it up until I get yours in the mail.
Yeah, you better take my card and soak it in water before you open it.
Happy birthday, kaboom! Well, you didn't quite make it. Oh, me. Now, I don't want it to rain today. Do not rain. No rain.
Not much today, but let's see what the cloud cover is. I'm tired of gloomy, rainy days, I tell you. We needed the rain, but I'm tired of it.
I am too. Well, we had a nice spell there for about a week. Boy, it was nice. Very nice. Well, Clemens did a nice job on the hurricane. I said Clemson did a nice job on the hurricane. On Florida.
Good job on the hurricane.
On the football.
Oh, the Miami Hurricanes. Oh, okay. Yeah. They did. I mean, they really won the game. I mean, they got lucky in one play. And then the other touchdown they made was they had people whose numbers weren't on the roster.
Who's number was on the roster? Clemson?
The players they were playing.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. What were they doing? Everybody was sick or injured or whatever?
If he gets ahead, the game's certain. He just, if you practice good and had good effort, he's going to play you. It doesn't matter if you're in the fourth string.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why I didn't quite understand which team you were talking about. Yeah. He's good about that. Yeah. They just exhaust them.
The rain's about 25%. Average cloud cover is about 80%.
Yeah. smells like somebody burning some coal or something out here. Sort of like here, at your house the other day.
Trying to burn stuff that never did burn all the way. It was all wet and soaky. And then the rains came. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well. Well, I was kind of messing around a little bit yesterday on my little tablet I got. It's a Galaxy Samsung tablet I've had for a long time, but never really did a whole lot. It has a Verizon chip in there, but I just turn it off. A lot of times Verizon is kind of bad. They won't unlock it, so you can't use that phone with anybody else. I use it on the just on the Wi-Fi. Anyways, it's a nice little tablet.
I finally destroyed that old HP we used to have. I mean, it must be absolute work. It's so old. I'm so used to using this phone that I don't even want a tablet. And I'm just not away that much. The phone works really good. So I just use it. And if I really want the big screen, I just come here on the computer and use it. Oh, got a big long list of stuff I'm going to do today. I always have a big long list. One of the things I'm going to do is I've got a four position Alpha Delta switch, a flat one. I'm going to hook it up so that I can use the 6 meter beam on the 590S, the RCI 5054, which is a mono banner 6 meter sideband CW-rig. I use that a lot for monitoring. Or I can switch it over to the TS-2000. So I won't put that in today. That won't take long. I already have all the cables. And that's probably I think that's probably about it. But I got a bunch of other stuff. I got to vacuum this room. That's one of them. Just the radio room, the cleaning people don't do. I don't love touching in here. So I've got a vacuum in here. It's got a lot of dog here.
Oh, yeah. So I can understand that. They actually knock wire loose and take you forever to figure out where it is.
Before they started, they don't like messing with wires. Like, if you got an entertainment system, they probably won't dust all around that. I said, that's fine. Just dust the horizontal surface as best you can, like down here.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. Let's see. Marsh is going to take me out to dinner. Wednesday. Anyway, that'll be the last day I teach, and also got like a birthday dinner. She's got a Olive Garden gift card, so we're gonna use that. Yep. I don't know. I think some of these PE instructor stuff, they're kind of lazy over here. I got my reasons. They just... Let's see. Do I want to get in the mud? Not the mud. Maybe mud. Let's see. It's okay. I got to back up. I'm trying to park. Here we go. It's okay. Well, I'm here. Did I talk it down?
No, I got it all.
Okay, let me get inside, and good luck on all your chores, and let's see what we can do with the kitties today. The track's kind of wet, but it's not raining. As long as it's not raining, that'll be all right. M42842.
You say those coaches that are teaching over there aren't exactly chemistry majors. Okay. All right. Which makes sense. Okay, we'll see you then. Have a good day. N4IQ.
Right. There's cans, bottles sitting around on the track here and there. Yonder, do they bother to pick it up? Or even, nah, they just sit down, chat amongst themselves while the kiddies go around the track.
For the athletes, or used to be athletes.
The younger ones have quite made it to retirement age. Oh, me. Anyway, my personal opinion. Catch you later, AC 4Q.
Clear, monitoring.
N4IQ, W4NGU. Hey, Bill, what's up?
I have a cup of coffee here and getting things lined up for my busy, busy day, as usual. I don't understand it. I mean, I can sit down here every morning. I have 15 things on my list, and I work all day, and then I come back the next day and still have 15 things on my list.
I actually have a spreadsheet right now with about 76 items on it, and many of them are multi-day projects, and I'll cut and paste and move it down to the bottom in the completed section. It kind of lets me see what I've gotten done, but it would take me full-time 6 months to do those 76 items.
Then we have another 70 on there. I don't do a spreadsheet, but I've got a day timer that's on my desk, which I've been using. It's not really a day timer, but it's actually a three-year academic counter, because I got used to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the new year starts like in the, you know, in August, but it's, when I open it up, it's both pages are 1 month. Then I got the short term list, then I got long term. The long term stuff goes in the bottom, you know, and it just gets flipped over from 1 month to the other. And then I put those on priority by using A, B, C, and D on the short term. Of course, after I put them A, B, C, D, I end up doing the D's first, if you know what I mean. Over.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm a list person, or I never get anything done, so I understand all that. I got my balance in from Ballon Designs, and they looked real good, except one of them, the 4-to-1 current Ballon on the SO239, the center conductor, it was nice and gold, looked good, but it was sticking out a quarter inch, and I couldn't push it in, but I could pull it out more, and that kind of upset me, and I wrote him, and he said, oh, just take a tap and a hammer and tap it back in, and I'm not sure I'm totally happy with that. It worked.
That's warm and fuzzy for sure. Yeah, I heard you talking the other day. somebody was they wanted to know if the Ballon was a kit, and you said yeah, and they said, "Well, really?" And you said, "Yeah, you got to hook wires to it." I thought that was funny. Yeah, my Ballons came in last week, maybe it was the week before. I got them in; they were fine. They don't look like anything's wrong with them. That's too bad. That's probably okay. I mean, What I do, though, is, which you've probably already done, is after you knock it back in, you know, take a PL-259 and put it on and off about a dozen times, make sure it doesn't come out.
That's a good idea. I need to do that. But I've got some other coax connectors I thought were quality. I don't remember if this was the T connector or a right angle connector. But the center conductor comes out and it's just got a sharp point on the end where it just touches the other side on the right angle. And really? I'm supposed to put, of course I wouldn't, but you know, they claim they're rated for 5 kW. You can put 5 kW on something that just touches the other side?
I tell you, T connectors and elbow connectors, I have found, because I've used a lot of them, they're about as flaky as you can get. Also, barrel connectors. A lot of times that center connector will move around or actually pull out. I don't know. It doesn't seem to matter who you buy them from, that sometimes they're like that. I try to, well, if I get one that's, particularly the, like the angle connector stuff, one of those that are flaky like that, I mark it, and it's a last resort. If I'm going to use it, I'll make sure, I'll watch that really carefully. But that is frustrating. But if it went in and it didn't come in, if it kept coming in and out every time you put a PL-259 on it, I would definitely let them know. But I tell you one thing, they're easy to replace. You can take an SO239. There's nothing magic about those balance. You take the cover off. I've rebuilt those things before after the plastic housing was destroyed, a couple of mine. And the balance was actually okay, but rebuilt them, and it's not hard. You could replace that SO239 really easy, over.
Yep, well, I was going to ask you, when I ohmed it out, I guess at DC it's supposed to be a short, but all three connections, braid and center, or outer and center, it's all a dead short, but I guess that's normal?
That's actually an advantage, because it keeps that's just the way they're designed, but to RF, of course, they're not shorted. DC they are, it keeps static down. That's a major advantage. But if you want to test one, what you do, you take a 200 ohm non-resistive resistor, or all you got is a resistive, non-inductive resistor. but just clip it on the antenna terminals and put your analyzer on it, on the 4-to-1 balance. It should read about 1-to-1. And if it does, and it should read, of course, 1-to-1, you know, all the way on the HF band. And if it's doing that, it's okay. But that's where you check one of those. But it'll be DC shorted.
Would be. I did take the covers off, of course, to look in them, and I sure was impressed with those things, the way they're done. I almost said I'll just wind these things, but I said no, I'll get some cores that are not good off eBay or something, and but the way those things look, I'm glad I didn't try it.
Felt right, and you know, you can spend a lot of time trying to just get the materials, the same materials that they have, the high temperature insulation they have on some of those wires. It just, unless you're going to make a lot of them, it's, you might as well just buy them. It come out about as cheap just buying them, and they're done right.
Up about $5 a ballon. I'm going to have a lot of money in this Wyndham, probably close to $300. Thank you.
it's quality. A lot of these people make these antennas, they use, you know, for one thing, I guess you probably got a isolator on yours. I guess yours is Carolina Windham, I don't know. By the time you buy that, and then you buy the 4-to-1 Bowerman, if they're quality ones, you know, they're gonna cost you a little bit. But, you know, some of these people, well, like Buckmaster and some of these cheap, you know, rod-type, ferrite rod-type balance. Some of them are actually air core. And, you know, sometimes the wrong balance on the wrong type of antenna. I mean, like Buckmaster is not Carolina Windham, but they use a voltage balance. They should be using a current balance. It just, I guess you get what you pay for, but also everything's going up. I mean, inflation's just terrible.
Well, with shipping, I paid $181 for these two boxes.
We're over $200.
It'll be fine. I'm looking forward to having all-band capability with it.
I think it'll work real well. I was doing some testing up on 15 yesterday. I built the ground plane, and I moved it at various heights on 15 meters. I just tried different stuff, but it's got spreaders for the radials to keep them out. I can move the antenna up and down. I finished building that last week, and I was testing against 15 meter super loops, the 80 meter Carolina Windham I have in the front yard, the backyard. The antenna really works the best. It has a really, really good lobe. It's one of my 80 meter Carolina Windhams. It's one that's in my front. You have to really look to see it because it's, of course, just a wire. And, boy, it just performs so good on over to South America and to the South. I was just testing yesterday on 15 on CW, and I got a call from GW. I'm getting calls all over the West Coast, I mean, all over. And you tune up down the band, you think the band was dead except on FT8. But anyway, I did a lot of testing yesterday, and one of my super loops, the one goes to the west, it is definitely better to the west. And you can really tell it if you get on the FT8 frequency, and makes it really easy. You can isolate like one signal on FT8, and you start getting the readings. The dB readings on it, and you go back and forth between these different antennas, you can really get a good idea which antennas work in the right directions. Yesterday, South America was just booming in all over, but the that Windham, that one particular Windham, it really performs really good in South America. There's a huge lobe that goes that way. W4NGU and 4AQ.
NGU. Well, that's cool. I got to get on FT8. I can copy it, but I hadn't been able to make this rig transmit it for some reason. I'm using a little signal link thing. I think there's something screwy somehow. But I called CQ last night on 7115 for a solid 20 minutes and no takers. So everybody's on FT8, although I had a very high noise level on all bands. My property is horrible for that. I live on a highway, and there's a big transformer out at on the telephone pole in my front yard. And so with this Windham, I've got two nice trees for the ends, but I'm going to put a kind of a temporary thing. It was in the ARR handbook years ago. And I've already got the lumber. I don't want to have to go buy it. But 2x4s and everything, and you can do kind of a tilt-over tower that'll go up 40 to 50 feet if all you're supporting is a wire. And I want to do that before I put a tower in this hole, because part of my one my Wyndham will run right over, not over, but if you dropped a vertical line, the power line from the pole to my garage stops, and the Wyndham is about a foot to the left of it. I'm going to put up a barrier so that if it should ever fall, it can't go on the power. But I may have some high noise, so I decided I'd kind of temporary do it and see how I liked it before I put the tower in the same place.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I remember seeing something like that, some of the books. Yeah, it's kind of like, I know what you're talking about, and I always thought that was kind of neat. Well, I'd like to know how that works. Just out of curiosity, I always thought that was kind of neat. I wish you good luck on it. When you said 7115, what motor were you on?
CW. I used to stay down there in the extra portion, but there's sure enough nobody down there, so I had to move up into the general section.
Every once in a while I hear people up there, about 71, but 7100. I generally don't listen up there very often when I'm on CW. But, okay, well, that's good. Yeah, most of the ones I hear there are probably on the slower side, which is fine. That's probably why they're there. And that's a good place to go. Well, wish you luck. I'm going to be installing a four-way switch, and I'll be able to switch from the six-meter beam I've got, and I've got four rigs that I can go to. I want to put a switch so I can go use any of those rigs. Then I've got a 400-watt two-meter brick that I was using on the VHF contest on FT8 a couple weeks ago. That brick is really getting hot, so I put fans on it. Just set some fans on it during the contest, but which really cooled it down. It wasn't a problem after that. I could run the 400 watts, no problem. But I need to put kind of like a hood on it with a fan on top to draw the air off the top fence heat sink that's on there. So those are my two priorities today as far as radio stuff. What did you do? You said you text message to Bound Designs, or did you call them on the phone?
Well, it was the weekend, Friday afternoon, and I sent him an email, and he replied at 7 the next morning.
Anything better than that? That's really good. That's great. I wouldn't worry about it because SO239s are cheap. You can get those. I've got some over here if you need it. Need them. Just take the one out and put a new one in.
Well, I hope it's fixed. You would think with the quality that they're known for, they wouldn't use a cheap SO239 though, wouldn't you?
They're cheap. They're probably bottom of quality. It's just... Like I said, I like some of these adapters, and I've got a 810. Thing is, you know, that's not. He probably didn't even know that when it happened. They probably just put it on there, and they probably put theirs in. If you have one thing about it, if you have a PL259 that's got a little extra solder on it, and you stick it in one of those SO239s, it's very easy to pull that center pin out. I've seen amplifiers that were damaged that way. They had to replace the SO239 because the center conductor was really too big for that center pin. I mean, it's very easy for that to happen, and you don't even know it, and you don't even realize the PL259 is actually a little bit too big. I've done that before.
Yeah, a lot of them that the wireman puts on are too big, and you can't even get them in the first time. But there's nothing magical about what they do. It's not, I mean, he's got a, I've watched him do them before, and then he puts that red cover on there, and you can't see that it's not the very best connection. I wasn't impressed when I watched what he turned out. He was putting out a PL-259 on RG-213.
Well, was he making up a connector for somebody?
Yeah, for me, and I was standing over him, and it was no magical connection. And, of course, you can't ever see it when they put that red cover on and heat shrink it.
Okay. Well, nothing like doing it yourself, then you know it's done right.
That can be a struggle in an art. There's a lot of different ways. Do you think that when you put the, I've never done this, but I've seen it described as a method, when you put the braid over the outside of the PL-259 and solder it, do you think that causes an impedance bump?
I used to do a lot of mine that way, and actually probably last month I spent 2 days going back and taking all those connectors I had like that and did them the proper way. I don't think it's, if you're on the lower HF, you know, up on VHF, yeah. On most of the HF bands, no. It's not a beat match, but I don't think it provides really good isolation, because I think what happens is, instead of confining the electromagnetic field within the inner part of the shield and the center conductor, when you put it to the outside of the shield like that, there's a good chance that some of that current will actually end up on the outside where you don't want it. And because I operate SO2R here, you know, I really want to have good isolation. So I went back and I spent probably 2 days, maybe even 3 days, going back and redoing all those connectors. It was a big pain. That's what I did. I did it correctly. And I don't like crimp connectors. I know that they're getting to be popular. They're easy to put on. But there's nothing like really soldering, making good solder connections on these things, particularly if they had, that cable's going to be outside. I do not like crimp connectors.
Be more maybe on the inside, but like you say, on the outside, where a little corrosion or something begins to work in there, not good. Well, I bought a 706 and didn't have it but a couple of weeks, an IC 706, and I sold it this weekend and bought a 857D. So, I'm about to get set up in the car on HF. Never had HF in the car. Steve helped me. We put an antenna, a ham stick, on the back of the bed of the truck Saturday, but it didn't have cable, so I'm not live yet. But it's got the detachable head, so I'm finally going to get something I can that looks decent all my ham life for some reason or another. I've had the radio sitting on the passenger seat or something, and it's just not been first class, so I'm anxious to get that going.
I know you're excited about that. That's great. Yeah, those are nice radios. I still use a 706 out in my car, out on my Expedition. I bought that in 1999. Still working, works great. I've got the head detached. And I've used it on mobile in contest. Used the computer with my 706, operating contest from the car. It works. Works good. That radio still works good. It's a great radio, the 706. You used to hear them by the thousands on the air. Somebody's mobile, they had a 706. But mine's still working, and as long as it works, and probably as long as I can get parts to fix it. I've never had anything go wrong with it. I'll probably keep using it. It's just, I'm used to it. I like, it's simple to operate. And it does a good job. Most time, right, most time around town, though, I've got it on, you know, 6-1. But that's good. I hope you really enjoy it. And the ham sticks are good antennas. I read some articles where they had shootouts with the ham sticks, and they also had the hustlers, and they had some screwdrivers and things. The ham sticks really come out good. They're only single band, of course, but they're good performers.
Got a good deal on a whole set of them, and so I'm going to give them a try. I would like to switch around, but for what I got in these things, it doesn't really pay for me to buy that $350 ATOS right now. I've got a chance to trade this sell this 857 and get an ICOM, but it won't control the ATOS, so for right now I'm just going to go with ham sticks, and that's probably all I'm going to need. But it's going to be fun. The control head's got there's a perfect place on the not the console, but the dash here of the truck, and I'm looking forward to it. I just want more to listen to. I'm not going to do a whole lot of talking, but I'm an hour and a half to 3 hours a day in the car, and you just can't find enough on 2 meters if you want to listen to some hams talk.
Probably 95% of your operation be on 40. I've got a Outback antenna where you just plug in the, you know, just have a traveler wire. It works really good. Mine's a fairly short one. It's called the Perth. But it works good. But I keep it almost on 40 almost all the time. Typically what I do, I mostly listen on CW in the car. But I know exactly what you're talking about. A lot of times I get just tired of the chatter too sometimes. So I just put it on 40 CW, and usually there'll be somebody around. I just enjoy listening to it in the car. Probably 90% of my operating is listening, and then maybe, you know, the other 10% I'll actually get on and operate somebody, but I have to be out on the interstate or something like that for me to really do the operating. But with the Sunspot cycle coming up, you're really going to enjoy it. It makes a difference when you're mobile.
The Sunspot cycle, I think at the right time too, with it rising, so that's should be some fun hamming. Phil, I'm just about to where I need to start paying your Social Security, so I'm going to sign off on this one, and I sure did enjoy it. W4, never give up. Listening for your final.
Have a great day. One last thing, I've got a battery booster. I've got the body of the radio. It's back in the very back of my vehicle. That's a long ways on an expedition. I've got a battery booster I put back there with a remote switch to turn it on and off. And I found when I'm sitting, that really does help. You don't have to run the car, get the voltage up. Don't have to worry about the voltage drop. So if you ever have a problem like that, you might consider a booster. All right, 73s, have a great day. W4NGU and 4IQ.
Is that the MFJ model?
Yes, I've got the MFJ model. It's always worked really good. But also I have another brand that I have on my TS-480. Right now I got it inside here because I know you got to go. But I had it out in my RV, which I sold. But I still have the setup in here. But there's another brand that's really good if you don't want to use the MFJ. But I've never had a problem with the MFJ. Over.
Well, next time, mention the other brand of that one if you remember it. I have a problem right now. I've got a Yaesu 2-meter rig, and it will not transmit below about 12.5 volts, and it's just, or 13. It's just plain aggravating. Start the truck, it works great. I think that's a little too sensitive, but, you know, I already got it.
If I remember, it's called the TGE, Tango Golf Echo, TGE. And they're really well made. But a lot of the Yaesus are known for that. My 706 is sensitive to that low voltage. It was known to have a problem. A lot of people put a large capacitor on the DC line going to the radio, and a lot of times that would be sufficient to ride through on the peaks, but I don't know why, but Jesus, the older ones, are definitely, a lot of them had a problem. Over.
Yeah, well, this one's only about 24 months old, and, but anyway, I can live with it, but it's fine. I'm going to actually keep this in the car so I can, since I'll be monitoring all the time on HF, I won't miss if somebody calls me on 6-1. Enjoyed it, Phil. I'm in the parking lot. I'll see you later.
This is Bill. That's all right. Anyway, you take care. 73 is in for you.
I knew that, Bill. Sorry.
Phil might be upset about it. I'm not.